Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. Lord, we thank you that your presence makes all the difference. Lord, without your presence here this morning, we'd just be gathering for social purposes. But Lord, we thank you that with your presence, Lord, we encounter you. With your presence, Lord, we are transformed. With your presence, Lord, we come into freedom. Now we thank you for what you have already done this morning, and Lord, we ask you to continue to minister to us by your Spirit. Father, I ask you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ this morning. Father, may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened. Father, remove ignorance from our minds, O God, and give us revelation. Lord, your word says that your people perish because of lack of revelation, lack of vision, lack of understanding. Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, you might just give us deeper insights, illuminate things to us this morning, we pray. Father, I pray, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Father, I pray that as I speak, O God, that Christ alone will be seen, that he will be glorified. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, and amen. We're continuing this series that I've called Freedom from Curses. For those who are new, the outline of what I hope to share is in the middle of your bulletin. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2. Proverbs 26 and verse 2. And this is NIV. NIV says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting sparrow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. So the writer of Proverbs is first acknowledging that there are curses that may be deserved, and those will come to rest. But an undeserving curse will not come to rest. It will come towards us, it says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow. It will come around looking for some cause, and if there's no cause, it will leave. So before I get into the main things I want to share this morning, I just want to remind us of things I've said over the last couple of sessions, primarily because some people might be tuning in for the first time, hearing this for the first time, or you might have forgotten. So, just to remind you, we talked about signs of a curse coming out of Deuteronomy 28 and also Exodus. And I've listed there at least 10 signs, or more than 10. Talk about untimely deaths, people dying young, people dying in weird and strange ways. Can be a sign of a curse, it's not automatic. But if there's a pattern, I said, you look in the family line and you see a pattern of early deaths, untimely deaths, then it might be a sign of a curse. And I said in the previous sessions concerning this issue, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, then trust me, it's probably a duck. So you might not believe in curses, but if you see the signs, you see 2, 3, 4 signs, then you can keep burying your head in the sand, or you can say, you know what, looks like a curse, let me deal with it. So, untimely deaths, barrenness or repeated miscarriages. And I mentioned that with a curse, it doesn't mean that every single area in your life is cursed. You can be very blessed in all different areas, but in one area, this thing is operating, the curse that prevents the full development of positive potential or hinders growth. And barrenness and repeated miscarriages, the Bible lists that as one. Michael, David's wife, when she criticized the king and despised the king for worshiping the Lord, the Bible says in Samuel that she ended up not having any children. It's as if a curse came upon her. Even though she's the wife of the king and the daughter of Saul, she's living in all sort of material prosperity and blessings, but in this particular year of her life, she ended up experiencing a curse. Deuteronomy 28 mentions material lack, where you get your resources, you get your pay, but you just can't seek to make ends meet. Something is always happening to drain your resources, and it might be a curse that's at work. Recurring or incurable illnesses. The Lord said he'd hit them with tumors and all sort of diseases from which they cannot get healed. And so that can be a sign of a curse. You see it happening in families. And perhaps it's something else that is at work and not just, you know, that this one is sick. But it might be something else at work. Being accident prone or having continuous misfortune. You know, people talk about bad luck. Everything they do, it just fails. There's bad luck following them. But since I don't believe in luck, whether it be bad or good, then I look at the scriptures and the scripture tells me that, no, that's a curse that's following you and you need to deal with it. A pattern of defeat and ridicule where you're always the one suffering loss. You're always the one that they're taking advantage of and laughing at you and mocking you. And you can see that pattern, then maybe there's some other thing happening that is behind all of that. Mental and serious psychological issues. In Deuteronomy, in the NIV, just call it madness. The Lord says he's going to strike them with madness. All of this mental stuff that you see running in families, not just one individual, but you see grandfather had it, grandmother had it, and no auntie so-and-so have it, and no, you have it. It's probably a curse that's at work in that family that you can get freedom from. Exploitation and oppression. In Deuteronomy 28, it actually mentions that your children are going to be taken into captivity. And so as I reflected on that, I realized that one of the main ways in which our children end up in that captivity today is through drugs or sort of addiction. And if you see that type of thing running in a family, then, you know, I would say investigate further. Who knows what else is at work? But when you see your children being taken into captivity, being caught up in drugs, being caught up in gangs, being caught up in all different types of things, then maybe there's something else happening there. Oppression, people are always taking advantage of you, always exploiting you. Maybe there's a problem there. Broken marriages or family alienation. You see the pattern of divorce running through families. I was able to see that pattern. Actually, my sister pointed that pattern to me several years ago when it came to my own family. And so you can see the broken marriages or family alienation where children not talking to parents, siblings not talking to each other, all sort of problems in the family. And you can see it going back. Then maybe there's a curse at work creating some of those issues. Continuous business failure. Everything you put your hand to just fails. Always making a loss. Always being caught up in some sort of scheme or scam. Maybe it was naive, or maybe it might be something else that's at work. And those are some of the signs. Then as we said from Proverbs 26, there must be a cause. So what are the causes of a curse? And we mentioned last time that in some situations, all the situations, the cause allows the Satan to take a foothold in your life or in your family. And we looked at the scripture from Judges where Abimelech, one of the sons of Gideon, he killed his 70 brothers. And the youngest one who escaped, Jotham, pronounced a curse upon Abimelech. And the Bible tells us in Judges that when that curse was pronounced, that the Lord sent an evil spirit to bring about that curse. The curse was that the people of Shechem, that Abimelech was now king over, that God would caused fire to come from them and consume him, and fire to come from Abimelech and consume them. And it tells us in Judges that an evil spirit from the Lord came and created that environment for there to be conflict between Abimelech and Shechem, and Abimelech lost his life, and the curse was brought to pass. So oftentimes it's the enemy that gets a foothold to bring about the fulfillment of curses. Then you have what I call another reason is the boomerang effect. The Lord said to Abraham, I'll curse those who curse you, and I'll bless those who bless you. And so here you have people trying to curse Israel, and though they do not understand the principle of the boomerang effect, that God has put a protection around them. God put a protection around Abraham. And so here you come trying to curse Abraham, and because of that protection, it just bounces back and comes straight back to the person who released that curse. Because God says, I'm going to curse them who curse you. And so I call it the boomerang effect. And I share an example of someone I used to be in ministry with in New Jersey who was cursing another minister's ministry. And the boomerang effect happened to him where he lost his two sons. He only had two sons. And they both ended up dying of drug overdose 2 or 3 years apart. And so here he was cursing somebody else's ministry when that man was just genuinely seeking to follow the Lord and didn't understand that you're not supposed to do that. Jesus said to him, you know what you should do for those who curse you? In other words, people are going to try and curse you. He says, bless them. Bless those who curse you. We are not called to pronounce curses, we are, at least upon people. We are not called to curse people. We are called to curse circumstances and situations, but not people. And so Jesus says to bless them instead and allow God to deal with them. So you have the boomerang effect. Then pronouncement upon oneself. From Genesis 27 there, we have Rebecca, who said to Jacob, Jacob was concerned about deceiving his father because he says, my father might discover it's me trying to deceive him and pronounce a curse upon me. And Rebecca, being presumptuous, says, let the curse come upon me. She called on a curse upon her own self. And if you understand the story, Isaac wanted to bless his eldest son because he thought he was about to die. Well, it turns out that Isaac lived a much longer life because after Jacob left and went to Laban and came back, both himself and Esau were able to bury Isaac. But somewhere along the line, long before that, Rebecca died, didn't see Jacob again after he left home because she called on a curse upon herself. And we talked one time about the power of words, of the tongue. That James says that with it we curse people and we try and bless God. And part of what James says, we curse people who are made in the very image of God, which is a contradiction because if they are made in the image of God, how can you try and curse them? So you have that pronouncement upon oneself. And then the last one we dealt with was pronouncement by people in authority. And we talked about Elisha, where these young men, lots of them, came out and was mocking and jeering the prophet, calling him bald head and telling him to get out of here, get out of here, showing disrespect to the prophet. And the Bible says in 2 Kings that Elisha called on a curse upon them. And right then and there, two bears came out and killed 42 of them. Now, we in our Western mind would say, oh, that's so unfortunate. An unfortunate accident happened. Why do we have all these wild bears out there? And I'd realize, no, there's something else happening behind the scenes. You see? In today's world, because we don't grasp spiritual things quickly, so we always try and find some other reason that seems, you know, logical to us. Then witchcraft. I'm sure this one is pretty clear to most of us. The Bible tells us not to seek for any sort of guidance from anywhere else or from anyone. So witchcraft can be a room for God to pronounce a curse upon us. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 27. We'll look at some other reasons. And while you turn there, I'll just take time and share a little bit of the story of my wife and I. Because this issue of curse, it took me a while to embrace it. Because, you know, once I got Spirit-filled, I was exposed to the things of the Spirit. And as I shared in one of the sessions about renouncing sins, I understood about renouncing sins, and I'd done that, renounce my sins and the sins of my parents. And so it was hard for me to embrace it. I was at seminary in California, and this was a Mennonite Brethren seminary, of all places, where in my final year of my degree was a New Testament, but a friend of mine, hers was in Old Testament, and we had to do a thesis and present it to a group of people and have it critiqued and all sort of stuff. And she did her thesis. She's an Old Testament major. She did her thesis on curses, of all things. And I thought, wow, here in a Mennonite Brethren seminary, people doing studies on curses. I got to go listen to what she has to say. So I went and listened to what she had to say, and it just caught my thoughts, my mind. And so after I finished seminary, and I was back home in Jamaica ministering, I spent that year just doing my own study on this thing called curses. It could not fit into my theology. How could I, as a Spirit-filled believer, have a curse operating anywhere in my life? It didn't make any sense to me. And you have to understand, you know, saints, that I was blessed enough, God gave me opportunity to have a first degree in applied physics with a minor in math. So I'm trained mental to think in very logical, step-by-step ways of thinking. And curses didn't make a lick of sense to me. But anyway, I still pursued studying it, trying to understand it. And the background to all of that is that when my wife and I got married, she was in medical school. And so we decided that we would not start a family until after she's finished with medical school. So she finished medical school, did her internship. 4 years later, we decided, well, let's start a family. And without any trouble, my wife got pregnant. And that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. Number one of the signs of a curse is miscarriages or barrenness. And then for years, it ended up being a total of 7 years after that, we tried all manner of things to conceive and could not conceive. It brought us a lot of grief, a lot of stress, but we just could not conceive. So, again, you know, barrenness and miscarriages can be a sign of a curse, but again, it didn't make any sense to me. Not a lick of a sense. So, I continue my study of this thing because I'm not one to, you know, any little thing I see, I just jump on it. I don't function like that. I'm one of those persons who I gotta study it, I gotta look at it and make sure it is so before I embrace it and jump on it. So, while studying it, the thought came to me, well, Joe Campbell, you, this might be a curse in this area of your life, even though you're blessed in all these other areas. And I said, Lord, if this is a curse in our life, then please give me some external confirmation. External meaning not coming from me. Because, you know I can easily find things to say one thing or another thing, you know, just by going through the scriptures or, you know, being so involved in something I can hear my own little stuff. I wanted something external to us. So I studied this thing and was back home in Jamaica in the church ministering. Then my wife decided she wanted to go, and she got tired of doing family medicine, wanted to do pediatrics. So we decided to go to New Jersey for her to do pediatrics residency. So I'm back there teaching, and I was teaching a series, I think, on spiritual warfare. And my last Sunday there, I decided, well, since I've studied this thing on curses for an entire year, I'll just share with the church, you know, little insights I have on curses, not seeing that this applies to me because I'm still looking for external confirmation. So that Thursday before Sunday, I was in a leaders' meeting. And one of the leaders turned to me and said, so Joe, Pastor Joe, what are you going to preach on Sunday? And I said, I think I'm going to share about curses. And this man looked at me and said, you know, Joe Campbell, I was reading this book called Blessing or Curse, You Can Choose by Derek Prince. And while reading this book, you and your wife came to my mind. I said, oh, okay. And then he said, Joe Campbell, Pastor Joe, have you ever prayed about your infertility specifically as a curse? And I said to him, no, we haven't. And this friend of mine looked at me and said, well, I challenge you to pray about it specifically as a curse. So, if you get a challenge like that and you've been asking for external confirmation, you might as well follow through with the challenge. So that was Thursday. Because we're moving to New Jersey, we're packing up stuff and leaving. So we didn't get to pray about it until we got to New Jersey. When we got to New Jersey, for the first couple of weeks, my wife had to do all sort of licensing exams back then. And so when she was finished with those, it was when actually Philadelphia, so we'd be traveling back and forth. When she was finished, we said, okay, let's just pray about this thing as a curse. And so we prayed. No, we didn't have a lot of faith, no special anointing, no, didn't feel anything. You know, sometimes you pray and you feel powerful. Nothing like that. We just prayed and broke it as a curse. So, well, and what do you believe it, saints? 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, my wife was pregnant. And our first daughter, Lydia Beth, came 9 months later. And then we decided to have a second child. Elliot came along without any trouble. Now, you can figure it out for yourself. Either it's a coincidence, or there was something there blocking this area of blessing in our lives that I think is a curse that we dealt with. And so this is how I came into this thing about curses. It's not because I went and heard something over there or read a book over here. It's because I put it to the test. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not jumping on this thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. Lord, I want some external confirmation. And the Lord, friends, how many of you know that if you're genuinely asking God for confirmation, He will give you confirmation. And so God gave us confirmation in a way in which I can't deny it because somebody challenged me to pray about it as a curse. And so that's how I came into this thing about curses. And since then, we have prayed for different people. And I've seen curses break. In fact, a good friend of mine, she called me a week ago. She lives in Canada. I remember after Lydia Beth came and we were living again in New Jersey, we went back to Jamaica for vacation and we shared our testimony. And this friend of mine, she came to us and said, you know, Pastor Joe, we have not been able to, she and her husband, we have not been able to conceive. Would you pray for us? And so we, in fact, at that time she had fibroids, cystic fibroids. Just womb fibroids. My wife corrected me there. It was about the size of a grapefruit. So conceiving is like not going to happen. So she came and we led her through some prayers. And she, her name is Datin. And I said to Datin, because she's in pain because of the fibroids, I said, Datin, this was, I think, August sometime. And she had an appointment for surgery, I think, in November, one of those times. And I'm one of those, I try to be a realistic type person. So I said to her, if November comes and the fibroids are still there, go ahead with your surgery. You know, don't live in pain. We've prayed, we give God time to work. Go ahead and have your surgery. So November came and the fibroids were still there. So she made arrangements to have her surgery. And she went in to get her surgery done. She was examined like a couple of days before to confirm with things. She went in for a surgery. Somewhere between when they examined her and she went back for a surgery, the actual physician who should have done it, he hurt his finger, cut his finger or something. So there had to be a substitute surgeon. So the substitute surgeon comes in and he says, well, before I cut you, I need to examine you. And he examined her and said, there's no fibroid here. I can't find anything. I won't cut you because I can't see anything to cut. So they did an ultrasound, and when they did ultrasound, they actually saw a sac instead of a growth. The fibroid just disappeared, and there was no sac. Now with that sac, it still is sort of impossible for her to conceive. So somewhere along the line, we prayed with her again. And within weeks of the praying with her, she was pregnant and has her son. Her son just finished his first degree. They live in Canada now. So I'm talking about things that I've seen God work in the lives of people. Things that I might not be able to explain to you logically, but I see something in Scripture, and I know Christ has taken the curse for us, which means that the price has been paid for us not to have these things in our lives. So if I see anything that looks like it, I'm going to take authority over it so I can walk in the freedom of Christ. And I can tell you more and more stories. So Deuteronomy 27 says, starting at verse 15, it says, cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hand, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say, Amen. So idolatry and false religion provides room for a curse to come into somebody's life. And as we mentioned, that the curse will also carry through to the next generations. And we mentioned that Paul said in Galatians 1 that cursed is a man who distorts the gospel. Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9. Let that person be a curse, be cut off from God. Verse 16 says of Deuteronomy 17, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say, so let it be. That's what amen means. So let it be. So dishonoring father or mother, saints, provides room for a curse to come into a person's life. But Pastor Joey, don't understand how mean these people have been to me. How they abuse me and mistreat me. The Bible is not saying you should tell lies. But there's a way in which we can be dishonorable, even though, or a way in which we can still honor, even though we have been mistreated and abused. The fact is, if you are here right now, it means, or you're listening to me, or watching me online, it means that your father and mother at least chose one thing. They chose not to abort you. So if it's just that, you can say, I can honor them because they chose life. They might not be able to honor them for all the other things, but you can honor them because they chose life. And so the scripture says, you know, dishonor father and mother. People say all sort of stuff about them without taking time to fully understand them, understand what they might have been going through, don't realize that they're putting themselves in a place for a curse. Our job, the blessing comes, Paul says it, to honor father and mother so that you might be blessed, and part of the blessing so that your days might be long on the earth and things will go well with you. Verse 17, cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Then all the people shall say, Amen. Moving the boundary stone is a form of theft, but it's a wicked form of theft. Because the people's property, which was given to them by the Lord, that's their means of getting their income. It's part of the security for their family. It's part of what God has given to them. And here you come trying to rob and to steal them of their livelihood. And the Lord says, the person who does that is under a curse. So theft and all of its similar form, those who want to go through identity theft and all sort of stuff, put themselves to be cursed by the Lord. Verse 18. Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray on the road. And all the people shall say, amen. That's wickedness. You see somebody trying to figure out their way and you lead them astray. The Lord says, no. I won't tolerate that. So I classify that as wickedness and cruelty. Proverbs 3, verse 33 says this. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. So when you see wicked people around you, don't envy them. Pray for them, that God will bring them to their senses, because they put themselves under a curse. Verse 19, curse is a man who withholds justice from an alien, the fatherless, or the widow. So here is someone who's exploiting people who can't fend for themselves, the widow, the orphans, the alien. And you distort justice, you withhold justice from them. James says that their cry comes up to the Lord, because nobody else can look to but the Lord for justice. And the Lord says, curse is a person who does that, who withholds justice from them. Verse 20, curse is the man who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed. Then all the people shall say, amen. And this all sort of different sexual activities, including, the next verse, including bestiality. 22 talks about sleeping with your sister. All sorts of what I call here illicit or unnatural sexual activity. Leviticus talks about homosexuality and all those type of things. Such individuals put themselves in a place for the curse of God to come upon them, for the curse to find a place to lodge. Verse 24 says, curse is the man who kills his neighbor secretly. Then all the people shall say amen. 25, curse is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. Then all the people shall say amen. So murder, taking the life of the innocent, puts people in a place to receive a curse. And I include in this those who go ahead with their abortion, taking the life of the innocent child, put themselves in a place to receive a curse. And the curse might affect you, but also your descendants after you. Verse 26, curse is a man who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. Then all the people shall say amen. That is the person who rejects God's word and chooses to do his or own thing. I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you're rejecting God and God's protection and God's blessing, so you put yourself to receive a curse. Then there are some other reasons for a curse. Unfaithfulness in giving, Malachi talks about that. They hold on to what belongs to the Lord. And so they end up experiencing a curse, end up not being able to make ends meet. Ignoring the poor and the afflicted, according to Proverbs 20, verse 7, such people And ignore here means to, you know, just see it and you know that there are needs and you just, I don't care. And then you put yourself under a place to, for a curse to lodge. In Judges, when Deborah was calling the people to go against the enemies of Israel, those who wouldn't come were put under a curse, according to Judges 5:23, because the opposed were lax in doing God's work, especially those who oppose God's work. It's a serious thing to oppose what God is doing. To know that God is doing something and to oppose it. There are some ladies who, I think recently, just put themselves in this type of category because they're so set on wanting to prevent the Supreme Court from overturning Roe v. Wade that they went into Joel Osteen's church, three ladies, and stripped themselves down to their underwear. And I'm thinking, ladies, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know who you're dealing with. You're so caught up in your own thing. And so people like that put themselves in a place where a curse can find a place to lodge. Perjury. Zechariah talks about perjury and theft and it being like a scroll that comes into the house of the person who commits perjury, who swears falsely in the name of the Lord. They go to court and tell lies. Then they put themselves for a curse to come and rest in their home. So those are some reasons. Again, for my wife and I, my mother was involved in witchcraft. She did all sort of stuff to try and protect us as children. And so as I was examining this, I realized, well, that's a ground for a curse. She wasn't looking to the Lord himself. Those of you who want to go to people and get rings and all sort of stuff to wear, you don't realize you're putting yourself under a curse. You're going, in fact, in Kings, I didn't read it, but during the time of Josiah, the people were doing all sort of stuff. They were burning incense to other gods. They were trying to study the constellations, the zodiac, and all those type of things. You want to spend your time reading horoscope and all those type of things, and you open yourself up to a curse. If you want guidance, guidance should come from the Lord. You see? So for us, for me, I could see grounds for the curse to come into my life. With my father-in-law, this man declared himself to be an atheist. We discovered that when he was at college in England, that he practiced a little bit of witchcraft. But this man was so against God that the very word God, and no, he's from England, he's blonde and very pale white, but the very word God would cause him to go red in the face. I mean, if you say something like, thank God for another day, he'd get red and angry. And so we could see from my wife's side, we had to give room for a curse to come into our lives. So we had to renounce all of those sins and break the curse that comes attached to those sins. So in severing a curse then, this is what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes. I put here that it starts first with us repenting of our own sins and having faith in Christ. Because if you're not a follower of Christ, then really, you're part of the wicked and the curse has room to stay in your life. So it comes by putting faith and trust in Christ, repentance. And knowing that Christ has then has taken the curse for those of us who didn't fulfill what God required. Or our parents didn't. Daniel chapter 9. You have to confess and repent of personal sins. And Daniel did this in Daniel 9. Daniel is in exile. He's taken away from his family, part of our curse. Daniel 9, verse 5, it says, "We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land." So not only did Daniel repent of his own personal sin, but he's also repenting of the sins of his parents and his foreparents. He says, we have not listened to your prophets. That's verse 6. Who spoke to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Verse 8, he says, "O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you." Verse 11, "All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against you." So Daniel had the insight and the revelation to realize what's happening to them as the people of God in exile is a curse. Because the people of his day and their forefathers had sinned against God and rebelled against God and got involved in all sort of idolatry and all sort of stuff. Verse 12 says, "You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem." Just as it is written in the law of Moses, "All this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth." So breaking the curse involves us confessing and renouncing the sins of our parents. As Daniel said, because parents sinned and they sinned, so the sin brought or gave room for the judgment upon their parents to come right down to Daniel and the people of his time. That's why I spent so much time a couple of weeks back, a few weeks back, talking about renouncing. And that's why, friends, we stand at a critical moment in this nation's history. And that's why the battle is so strong right now in the nation. Because this sin of taking the life of the unborn has brought curses upon us right now, whether you realize it or not. And to undo those things, we have to change the laws that permit such things to occur. And so we stand at a very critical time, and I encourage you to pray for our Supreme Court leaders. I mean, the enemy is out to try and take the lives of these people. I mean, it's crazy. And it's because the enemy understands . So we need to confess and renounce. Renounce involves if there are things that need to be changed, you go ahead and change them. See, if you're going to renounce taking the life of an unborn person, then part of the renouncing is going to be powers that be, we need for you to change these laws. Or we stand in agreement with you changing these laws. I don't know if they will bleep this out on YouTube, but so be it. I have to speak the truth. It involves breaking sinful patterns. Cannot continue with the same sinful patterns if we want to get freedom from curses. I put here, get rid of accursed things. In Joshua, when they took Jericho, and I think last time we talked about Joshua declared a curse concerning Jericho, saying it should never be rebuilt. Anybody who would do that would lose their two sons. And years later, in the time of Ahab, some man decided he's going to rebuild Jericho, and he lost his two sons. The curse came to pass in their lives, according to 1 Kings 16. We have to get rid of accursed things. In Joshua, when they were going up against Ai, the Lord said to them, don't take anything under the ban. They've done that. They've gone to Jericho a lot, so don't take anything under the ban. Achan decided he's going to ignore that. He takes stuff under the ban, and now they're going up against Ai, and they're thinking it's a small town, no problem, we should be able to defeat them. And they go up there, and they're defeated. Because Achan took some stuff under the ban and caused people to lose their lives. And so many of you know that situation, that eventually it came out for them to realize it was Achan who did it. And so Achan and his family were put to death, and they got rid of the accursed things. If you want to walk in freedom, you have to get rid of accursed things. In the book of Acts, and the people realized how powerful God was, it says they brought all of their books of magic that they had and burned them publicly. These are believers, and you wonder, why, what are you doing with books of magic? Well, in those days, they were expensive because you couldn't just photocopy a book. You had to be written by hand, so you can imagine how expensive they were. And these people had seen magic work. So they still held on to the book, saying, well, just in case this Christian thing don't work too right, I have my magic. But when they saw the power of God, when they saw that through Paul's ministry, handkerchiefs were taken from him and people were healed. And when they saw that the sons of Sceva didn't have any power, they were beaten up by one man with some demons, but the same man could experience freedom when Paul spoke, they realized that they don't need these books anymore. So they brought them and burnt them publicly. They got rid of those accursed things. So if you have stuff in your house, some little pretty Buddha that you went to India and you got, oh, this is so cute. Well, that's an idol. You need to get rid of it. If you want to walk in freedom. And all the other stuff. Sometimes when you go on these trips, friends, have to be careful what you buy in craft markets. Ask the Lord if you should buy it or not. You see? Because you never can tell, you know, what it's representing. But get rid of those accursed things. Stop collecting all these books on horoscope. Burn them. You know, you shouldn't have any Ouija board and all those type of things in your house. Burn those things so you can walk in freedom. So what, Pastor Joe, I'm in the new covenant. Yeah, but if you have those things the devil thinks, those are his, so he has a right to your house and to your children and all sort of problems. So get rid of accursed things, and then you have to deal with the curse specifically. That was a challenge to me. Break it specifically as a curse. Daniel confessed, he says, the curse has come upon us. Not just misfortune, not just bad luck. No, the curse has come upon us, and he confessed it publicly. Then we have to also release God's blessing. Because as we mentioned before, the blessing is stronger than the curse. But you still have to release the blessings. They've been stopped up. But I know it's stronger because Israel spent years under curse. Hearing from the Egyptians, you're no good, you're a slave. You're always going to be the tail. You're always going to be below. You will always be in want, being told that by the slave masters and their children. And once they came out of slavery, the Lord said to Aaron, the priest in Numbers 6, you need to bless these people. You pronounce this blessing upon them, and I will bring it to pass. And so they pronounced blessing upon the people of Israel so that it would overtake the curse and remove the curse and cause the blessings of God to follow them. So in Daniel chapter 9, verse 17, Daniel says, after he goes through his prayer, verse 17 says, "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant, For your sake, O Lord, look with favor or bring blessing upon your desolate sanctuary. He asks God for his favor, for his grace, for his blessings to be released. And so those are some steps that we need to take if we're going to break curses. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come on back. Let us stand. He's trying to do several things at once. So friends, as I mentioned there, I'm sharing this out of my own experience. This is not, in fact, I don't think I've ever heard much about curses. It's coming to my own study, my own experience, coming to understand that these things can linger and affect us. Things that our parents did, things that they were involved in, things that we have done ourselves. And if you see signs in your own life, then there's nothing to lose by breaking the curses. If there's no curse, you're fine. And if there's a curse, it's broken. But some of you, your parents might have cursed you. Fathers and mothers, you'll come to nothing. You're downright no good. All sort of stuff when you're angry and don't realize the power of words. People in authority, teachers, tell you all sort of stuff in school. You're going to be a failure. You'll never succeed. Pronouncing curse upon you and you just accept it. You know what I do when people say negative things to me? I say I don't receive it. People try to curse my children. They don't realize it. They just say negative things, but it's a curse. Oh, when they become teenagers, they're going to rebel. They won't follow the Lord. And I'm like, I don't say it to them. I say it to the devil. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I'm not passive. I'm very assertive. I'm like, no. Don't. I don't receive that. You see? And so praise God, by his mercy and grace, my kids have kept their faith in the Lord and will keep their faith until they meet Christ. So you can accept what people say, all the negative things, or you can reject it, take a stand against it. So this morning, I'm going to make it simple for us. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, breaking curses. And you make this prayer your prayer, whether you are here physically or online. I'm going to lead us in a general prayer. If you need more specific prayer, then you can come and see me afterwards. But I'm going to lead us in a very general prayer, breaking curses off our lives. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse. God has called us for a blessing, according to Peter. According to the psalmist, the only thing that should follow you is goodness and mercy all the days of your life. Bad luck is not supposed to be something that follows you. No, all sort of negative things happening to you. It's time for those things to stop. I'm not saying you won't have one or two little things happen here or there, but it should not become a pattern in your life. People looking on your life and like, man, you're so... No. They should be looking at your life and say, I want to know the God that you serve. How is it everything's working out for you? How is it that if there's going to be a scholarship, you get it? How is it there's going to be a raise, you get it? It shouldn't be, well, if they're going to cut staff, you're the one going to get cut. No. When Jacob was to leave Laban, Laban didn't want him to leave. Laban says, I realize I'm blessed because of you, Jacob. And that's Old Testament. How much more the New Testament saints. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You repeat it after me. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I thank you for his shed blood.
Thank you for his shed blood.
I thank you that all of my sins,
thank you that all my sins
have been forgiven.
Have been forgiven.
I've turned away from them.
I've turned away from them.
I have repented of my sins. And this morning, Lord, I repent of the sins of my ancestors. In the name of Jesus. Father, I renounce every evil thing that my ancestors have done. In the name of Jesus. And this morning, Lord, I break every curse that comes to me because of the sins of my ancestors. And this morning, Lord, I break every sin that comes to me because of things I've done. Lord, I break every curse that comes to me because of what I have done or what I have said. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And Father God,
Father God,
I release
your blessings
into my life.
Lord, I declare
that I shall be the head,
I shall be the head
and not the tail.
And not the tail.
That I shall be above,
I shall be above
and not beneath.
And not beneath.
That I shall always have,
that I shall always have
and don't need to borrow. In the name of Jesus,
name
I declare that your blessings will follow me and overtake me. And Lord, I declare
that my descendants
will be blessed
because of me.
I banish
every work of darkness.
I destroy
every plot of the enemy
against my life
in the name of Jesus.
And I declare that I am the blessed of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise.
Hallelujah. You are the source of life. And I can't be left behind. No one else will do. And I will take hold of you. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Capture me with grace. Won't you capture me with grace? I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me.
If you need additional prayer, then after we're finished here, you can come up front and there'll be folks up here to pray with you, whatever it might be. There will be people up here to pray with you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that your default response, Lord, is usually to bless. We thank you that you have called us, oh God, to be a blessing. Lord, we thank you, oh God, your blessings will follow us and overtake us. And so, Lord, we thank you, oh God, that in Christ, Lord, we can walk in freedom. Lord, we thank you, oh God, in Christ, because of the blood of Christ, oh God, when people will say negative things, Lord, it won't find a place to, to our light upon us. We won't find a place, oh God, to rest upon us because we are walking in the blood of Christ. Under the blood of Christ, we are walking in relationship with you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you might cause your face to shine upon us. That, Lord, you might lift up the light of your countenance upon us. That, Lord, you might bless us in our going and in our coming. And that, Lord, everything we put our hands to, O God, will be successful and you will be glorified in us and through us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.